Do you feel like your business is running your life instead of the other way around? I'm Roy Castleman. I've built multiple seven-figure companies, worked across continents, and coached high-performing entrepreneurs. But I've also been completely burnt out. At one point, I was barely seeing my daughter, drowning in stress, and one step away from walking away from it all. That's when I made a decision to build a business and a life that works for me. The journey became Elevate 360. A system to help business owners reclaim their time, find their energy again, and get back in control without sacrificing growth. And this podcast, Power Movers, is where I share real stories behind that shift. Each week, you'll hear from entrepreneurs, founders, and leaders who've walked through the fire and come out of the other side with clarity, courage, and a system that works. If you're ready to build a business that gives you more life instead of taking it away, you're in the right place. Good morning, good afternoon, good evening, wherever you are in the world. Today, I've got Randy Gage with us. And Randy is, I think, going to be very close to my own heart in terms of what we're trying to do. We're trying to make the world a better place for entrepreneurs, because I think entrepreneurs are the best people out there. So Randy's written a whole bunch of books. He's a speaker. He's got his own program for doing this. And we're going to dive into that today. First of all, I want to know about your origin story, Andy. So tell me about that.
I grew up in Madison, Wisconsin, a single mother who was trying to raise three kids by herself, heroically knocking on doors selling Avon. And I didn't really fit in. I didn't know why. Nobody had heard of autism back then. I don't even think it was a diagnosis till the mid-80s, probably. And since I'm quite old, that was before that time. So I was just a weird kid, is what my teachers and my family and everybody, Randy's just a little weird. Some might have thought I was mentally retarded. They might have assigned those kind of labels. And I just didn't fit in. I had a theory that the aliens had left me in a basket on my mother's doorstep one morning, and she came out and took me in. I couldn't find any evidence of that. But I just knew I'm not in this world. And of course, we were poor and struggling with her trying to raise three. And I became a teenage alcoholic, teenage drug addict. And at 15 years old, ended up in jail for armed robbery and burglary. And so that was a good, opportune moment to rethink my life, which I did. And I've had other seminal moments along the way, snatching defeat from the jaws of victory. But that's what you asked for, the origin story that shaped me. That would be it.
Very good, very good. And your journey into...
That was a result of the family not having money. So if I wanted something, all I got was hand-me-down clothes of my older brother, right? And if I wanted a bicycle or new jeans or sneakers or something, I had to rake leaves, shovel snow, babysit, mow lawns, sell lemonade, do something. So I was very entrepreneurial at a younger age. I made my way through middle school selling dope, but we probably shouldn't focus on that. That experience obviously gave me a lot of lessons that I built on later in life.
You definitely learned some lessons doing, you know, whenever you're selling, you get these lessons coming in, whether it's dope or anything else. It's strange. My parents divorced early and my mom looked after us as well, myself and my brother. And I was out selling newspapers and washing cars and doing stuff, because if I wanted anything, we really had to go and get it ourselves. For my daughter, who's 22 this month, I never knew how to actually give her the same drive, because I come from Africa. You don't work, you don't eat. And you come from that, you know, whole environment where, you know, you're really pushed all the time to do it. How do I give that to my kids? How do I bring that forward? And I'm lucky it turned out pretty well. So apart from growing up in this crazy world where it's all social media and stuff, I think entrepreneurs that don't have that drive or don't have that initial drive would struggle.
Two things jump out for me and what you're saying. One is, as I became wealthy, of course, I started to socialize with other wealthy people. And my circle, I think at a hotel, the charger isn't working. I need to make sure this laptop doesn't die in the middle of our thing. They put those outlets in the desk, and half the time they don't work. And I just saw mine wasn't working. So anyway, I started hanging with wealthy people and became wealthy, of course. And that's one of the most fascinating conversations I have with them is, what are you doing to raise your kids with healthy aspect? That seems to be one of the biggest areas of advice that people seek from me. All those are the questions. How do I, what should my kids study? Should my, I dropped out and I became a multimillionaire, but should I send my kid to college? What should I do? How do I create that mentality? And that was the first thing that jumped out at what you said. And the second thing, of course, is the entrepreneurial aspect, because I believe that's how we, all my work is about how do we make the world more prosperous, whether it's my blog, my books, my growth accelerator program, it's all to that ultimate end. And that's, I'm very skewed to working with entrepreneurs because entrepreneurs get things done. And that's how we're going to save the world. We're not going to go back and live in grass huts with no electricity to save the world. If we want to save the world, we have to be bold, daring, imaginative, innovative, develop new technologies, new methodologies, and that's what entrepreneurs do better than anybody.
I love entrepreneurs because we see a problem in the world and we think we know we can fix the problem. And then we have to figure out how to fix that problem. So we fix it for a couple of people, then we fix it for more people. And yeah, we're 1% of the world that's different from the others. This is just our driving force and our push. And I'm just north of London now. I think there's something ridiculous, 990,000 companies just in London that are 2 to 5 people, right? Yeah, but then you've got 60 million people in the whole country, so it's a small percentage, right? Yeah, I think the stuff that I've learned over the last 30 years and the stuff that you learned over probably about the same time, it's the shortcuts that we teach people, it's the lessons we've learned the hard way that they don't have to learn the hard way. Yeah, I want to switch over to one of my favorite topics, AI. Where's that going to be? I used to pride myself in being able to see 5 years into the future, my plan, my structure, and I'm so interested now to understand what entrepreneurs, how they're taking AI on and what they're actually doing with it. So what's your experience with that so far? And we haven't spoken about this at all. So this is a left field.
I wrote a book in 20, came out in 2012 called Risky is the New Safe. And I was talking about cloning and artificial intelligence and cryptocurrencies, and people thought I was crazy. I remember doing the book tour, and people were just like saying, "Do you really believe that we're going to be able to take vacations on the moon in our lifetime?" And I always thought, and I told a lot of these interviews, I think you're asking the wrong question. To say, are we going to be able to take vacations on the moon is really not the question you want to ask. The better question is, who owns the moon? We went there, we put a flag up, China went there, Russia goes there. How do we divide that planet without all of the wars and violence that we had here? Now we're looking at Mars with Elon, right? It's the same conversation. Instead of saying, do you really believe you're going to be able to have a house on the ocean floor? The better question to me was, hey, what is the price of ocean floor real estate going to do to affect the price of ocean front real estate? Those are the better questions. And AI is one of those things, right? I'm certainly not a futurist. I don't claim to be, but any good futurist will tell you the future is already here. It's just not evenly distributed, right? We need to look around the corner. We got to make some suppositions and say, okay, if this is happening now, what is the next logical thing to occur? And of course, when you do that with AI, you realize, oh my, I wrote a later book called Mad Genius, and I went more into AI in there, where I talked about examples and smart appliances and the Internet of Things and how that would affect, because I don't ever look at this stuff as a technology guy, because I'm a high school dropout. I'm not a PhD engineer. I'm just a guy who want to know how is this going to affect us going forward? What, how does cloning really work? Because at some point, we could have 190 countries sign a treaty and say we're never going to clone humans, but there's going to be a country somewhere that's going to say we don't have oil, we don't have minerals, we're going to be the cloning country. And they're going to call up crazy, batshit crazy guy in North Korea and say, would you like to buy a division of 400,000 soldiers who are cloned? And he'll probably say, yes, how much? So how does that work? How does it, when Jones and Son Hardware or Lobb and Son Shoemaker over there in London, where you are, want to have more kids and they just clone 12 of them to grow the business? And that's the stuff I think about. And AI, oh my God, Roy, AI is the most cataclysmic, earth-shattering event that will happen in our lifetime. And I say that if it won't matter if you're in your 20s, 40s, 60s, or 80s. So I've been really all in on that for probably 3 years, deep experimentation, research. I use it a lot in my business now, a lot. And I think I literally just wrote a blog about it yesterday, which I haven't even posted on. Like for entrepreneurs, to me, the big issue right now is entrepreneurs, we're always saying, okay, how do I cut through the clutter? How do I get my message out there to the people who I can help? And the answer is right now, you're competing with a bunch of AI slop. And what everybody's trying to do, I believe, is they're trying to outslop the AI slop. And you can't do it. All right. There's the AI knows everything I know and what everyone else knows already. The AI can, okay, you say, no, I downloaded these five different software and I can make a movie as good as George Lucas. And the answer is, yeah, you can make what George Lucas did to create Star Wars and spent $80 million or whatever it cost. You could do today in 20 minutes with $3,000. But the problem is, there's 5 billion other people on Earth who could do the same thing. So you're not going to stand out. So you have to, you know, what I'm writing about, what I'm coaching my entrepreneurial clients out about are, when everybody's zigging, you got to be zagging. Absolutely use AI. Use it for your productivity. Use it for your repetitive tasks. Use it. But you want to communicate. You want to get through the clutter. Stop trying to outslop. Go back to authenticity, connection. Stop trying to chase 4 million views. Stop trying to do a live stream and talk to 100 and 11 people, but they're the 111 people who matter in your space.
Yeah, for
And
sure.
you don't have the perfect lighting, you don't have the perfect production, you don't have the makeup artist, you don't have the perfect hair, teeth, skin, 12-pack abs, because you're not going to compete with those AI influencers because they're all perfect. You just got to be you. You got to be real, and you got to talk about the stuff that matters. And that was my blog post that I'll get up today or tomorrow, is this is what we have to be doing as entrepreneurs.
I'll share it with us and I'll put it in the release forms. I love that because what I'm talking about with people is AI is a 60% tool. People are treating it like a 90% tool, but it's only a 60% tool. And what I mean by that is you need to bookend AI with human. And the more human you bring into it, the more you're going to stand out. Your customer service, your interactions with people, your meetings, all those things you can't do because you're so very busy doing the repetitive tasks that you spoke about. Let's get the repetitive tasks sorted out so you don't have to do them, so you can be more human. And I believe that's going to be the total differentiator this year. Those companies that really put their effort into being more human, those are the ones that are going to stand out.
I think where I might differ from you, I think the people you think are using it as a 90% tool are, in my belief, probably using it as a 100% tool. They literally think, okay, this is going to write my newsletter for me. This is going to write my blog post for me. This is going to write my website for me. This is going to do this and this. There's 0% original critical thinking. Like, this blog post that I wrote, what I did when I finished it, I put it into my AI co-brain, which I had created, programmed with my writing, with my body of work, with my IP, and said, critique this. How can I structure it better? Am I communicating what I'm trying to? And it came back with, brilliant premise. Nobody's talking about it. Love this idea. Don't try to outslop the slop. Catchy. You might want to use that for the headline or the title or the subject line if you're going to do an email about that. But there's a little bit about repetition, a couple of places. You could streamline that here. You talked about these three things, discernment, discovery, and what you might want to structure that as a three-part framework. It challenged my thinking and then created a better final product for the consumer. That's how we got to use AI, right? It's not, hey, write my book for me. And I bet there's five books I bought in the last year. I read them first 10 minutes and I threw them in the rubbish because they're just, I can tell. They're written by ChatGPT, and there's not an original thought of the author anywhere in them.
I think a lot about this concept of human evolution. We evolve, we grow, we scale. And for me, AI has actually helped me in so many ways to be better at thinking, right? I have to stay the thought leader. I have to stay this. Jeff Woods talks a lot about this in his book, The AI-Driven Leader. I have to really own that relationship of being the architect of the problem that I'm going to be doing. I can then, first of all, I can learn how to communicate better, because as soon as you don't communicate well to AI, it gives you rubbish. And everyone's saying, oh, the guys that aren't getting it, they're like, oh, it's just rubbish. It just puts out rubbish. It's because you put rubbish in, rubbish in, rubbish out. AI is also very much a yes man. You say, this is a great idea. I want to run with it. It'll tell you it's a great idea and it'll run with it all day long. So you have to use it in the way that you're describing there. And then AI to me is an evolution tool where I can think outside my brain. I have a bunch of skill sets I don't have. You're a writer, you've written 15 books, great, right? I'm not a writer. My brain goes a million miles an hour. I don't write very well. I don't type very well. I've never learned how to do speed type. So I'm like, okay, these are skills that are outside my brain, right? So how can I get these skills? But I can talk and I can talk into it. And I've literally been writing a book now myself when I'm talking into it. And I'm saying, get my voice. Let's see what my voice says. Let's create my voice, to your point of building your brain, right? And then, yeah, okay, so what am I missing here? Who's one of the best wordsmiths in the world? What can I learn from this? And I can build myself a skill outside of my normal skills. If I'm using my critical thinking very well, then my critical thinking, look at that and say, okay, that's good or that's bad. But again, bookending with human, or putting human all the way along the process, is super critical to that.
Yeah, it's critical thinking. This is what, and I used to say that you can't outsource your critical thinking because a computer is never going to be able to do critical thinking. But I don't say that anymore because my agents do critical think every day. If you would have had me on your podcast 6 months ago, I would have said, if you're not using AI 20 times a day, you're way behind. If you'd have had me on 3 months ago, I would have said, if you're not using AI 50 times a day, you're not serious. Today, I would say, if I haven't used my AI at least 100 times, then I probably had a very unproductive day. And maybe if I'm back on your show in 6 months, I'll be saying 1,000 times a day. I don't know. But every day I put something in the agents I've created, and they do something that gives me chills on my body that I say, I can't. I'm looking in my laptop. Did they somehow put a person inside there? How did they fit in that MacBook Pro? There's no way a machine had that thought, right? But they do. They really have developed a level of nuance and critical thinking. So I don't want to make blanket statements to say like they can't do that kind of functionality, because it really does appear to me that they can. But you still have to be the thinker of the thought. You have to think about what you think about. You have to mindfully. One of the things, probably in my Mad Genius book, the thing that I get the most emails and DMs on is I talk about once a week, I schedule in my calendar thinking time. 45 minutes, no devices. I get a little bit of my green tea. I get a legal pad, a pen, and I think for 45 minutes and I jot down what comes up, right? People read that. They get this epiphany. They immediately start practicing it. And 2 weeks later, they're writing me, "Oh my God, I built a $10 million division out of a thought I had from a thinking session I scheduled because of your book. And oh, I had this breakthrough that I struggled with this for 18 years, and then I did a thinking session." And that's what you don't want to outsource, thinking mindfully, thinking about what you're thinking about. And AI is a huge part of the problem. The way you're killed with it is social media and the media for the most part, because they're run by AI now, and they've created the algorithms to say, okay, how can I outrage Roy today? How can I make Roy fearful today? How can I make Roy angry? So he's staying on my site, insulting back. So he's on there for another hour and 15 minutes so I can be selling those eyeballs to my advertiser. And people are puppets being led by AI what to think about. And it's not in your highest good.
Yeah, I really do see this massive divide between the every 6 months that I'm working with AI. I've got three IT companies in London, and so I've been in the game for a long time. You have to practice with it, to your point. You have to be practicing with it to actually get the nuances, to understand the things that are going right, to understand the things that are going wrong. And when you practice with it, you really have to practice with it to the point of what problem am I trying to fix now? Otherwise, you just go down. Yeah, entrepreneurs, we're terrible. We have shiny shit syndrome, right? Chase this and chase that and chase this. And once you start doing that and you've got your 5,000 ChatGPT threads, after the second day, none of it's useful. So you really got to bring this back down to what is my business problem I'm trying to solve? Or how much time is it going to solve me? How's it going to increase my customer satisfaction? Yeah, and how's it going to increase my staff's lives? Because all of those are going to move the needle. And if you don't move the
Yeah,
needle,
see, because everyone's saying, "Oh, I got to buy more prompts. I just saw a $497 ebook on the 25 best prompts to give your Claude or ChatGPT." No, you have to be the thinker of that thought, saying, "Okay, if this is the problem that I'm trying to solve, or if this is the way that I'm going to create value for my tribe, what do I need to ask this algorithm to research to get my thinking to the place where I want to get it to?" And that's where people are letting AI run them over and take them further away from where they want to be instead of going toward where they want to be.
So one of my real missions is to get people to think about AI in that way, right? To think about AI and right, okay, how can I get this to elevate my thinking? How can I think more with these tools that are out there? Because I don't know. I've got 1,000 experts sitting in the room with me, right? And I need to know how to talk to them. I need to know how to actually, those things that we've been, if we're working an 8-hour day and we're doing 7 hours of that or 6 hours of that, it's just repetitive tasks. If I can get rid of those and actually think properly, then I can 10x myself so much more easily. If not, that's the, I see that over the next year becoming much more commonplace that people are starting to see that and starting to do that. And it's only because people are starting to practice it much more now. And the more you practice with it, the better you get. So I'm very hopeful. We've got so many amazing things happening now. I saw a post the other day about MIT made a new aluminium because they gave AI all these formulas and it ran through thousands of different formulas in an afternoon. And they were able to create this 5 times stronger aluminium.
It's predictive medicine.
Yeah.
And about 40% of the people who go through this protocol find something that they can predict, that they could prevent by a change in treatment, diet, medicine, nutrition, something. That's the kind of stuff we're talking about. And it's also the example of the entrepreneur, right? This is basically a $15,000 checkup, right? Who's going to pay $15,000 for an annual checkup? And there's no insurance company in the United States who will pay it. There's no government in the world who's paying it. It's you, first of all, you need to be a rich person so you can afford to pay it. And then you got to pay it out of your pocket. And then, of course, you've discovered my Aunt Susie died last year of cancer. If she had known about this service, if I had known about this service 10 years ago, she'd still be alive. Chad Boswick or Steve Jobs, a lot of people we've lost along the way, they could still be living if we had harnessed this technology that way. And eventually, governments and insurance companies will pay for this because they realize, wow, it's a lot cheaper than going through 3 years of chemo and then the patient dies anyway, a miserable death. If we could find a way to recognize this cancer or whatever before it even takes hold, right? But in the meantime, these brilliant entrepreneurs at this place that I'm at, they say, here's a problem. There's people who will pay money to get that problem solved. There's a great business opportunity for us. And if entrepreneurs would just look at that and say, okay, how do I solve problems or how can I add value or both? That's where the opportunities are.
And yeah, to that point, longevity, that's my next major sticking point with people is you need to look after yourself. You get woken up in the morning, you've got a pot of energy of 100%, and you don't look after yourself. And by the time you get to your first cup of coffee, you've already given away 60% of your energy,
Yeah.
right? And I spent pretty much the whole of last year diving into wellness, longevity, eboo treatments, all the various treatments that are out there. One of my clients is actually a biohacker of note. He's a physician, he's a biohacker, he's also a functional medicine doctor, and he's got a real deep understanding of it. So it's been fascinating to learn all this stuff. And
Yeah.
I'm 53 now, and I feel stronger and better than when I was 40. And the amount of energy, I've just had a 10-hour flight from Seattle. I'm on a different time zone. It's 4 p.m. in the afternoon here. I left at 6 o'clock last night, and I'm here having a podcast with you. I haven't slept, and I'm like, okay, I can do this. And that I couldn't have done that 2 years ago. I couldn't have done that last year, because I decided, like you did, I decided, right, I'm going to spend 50 grand on myself just getting this right, because in 10 years' time, I don't want to be that person that can't get out of bed and his knees are buggered and everything. So if you have that opportunity, and entrepreneurs do, then we should dive into it.
I'm 66, so it's much more real to me about, and I can look and see, yeah, my biological markers are 10, 12 years younger. I do 40 blood tests every 6 months, sometimes every 4 months.
Yeah.
The last four in a row, I have literally been in the ideal range for every single one of them. My doctor was like, he doesn't have anybody of any age. He doesn't have 20-year-old kids who have blood work as good as mine, right? But I spend $1,000 a month on supplements, right? I have a very regimented protocol I follow of healthy stuff, and I get exercise and I make sure I sleep. As we were talking really before the mics came on about how also this wellness equation. So for me, I have a new book. I just sent book number 16 to the editor last night, the final draft, probably a couple of months before that's out. But I believe there's four quadrants of prosperity, right? And money and material things are part of one of those four quadrants. But if you don't have the wellness, if you don't have the mental harmony, if you don't have the spiritual sustenance, then, like I have this Breakthrough You, it's a coaching program for entrepreneurs, kind of growth accelerator slash mastermind slash networking group slash breakthrough, whatever accelerator program. At the high level, some of these people come in, they make incomes that dwarf mine. I'm working with billionaires, but I'm shocked at the number of high income earners who come into my circle. And they come in because their marriage is in tatters, or their kids aren't speaking to them, or they're two Big Macs away from a heart attack or diabetes and having their foot amputated. And so they've recognized, okay, I love the money thing, the beautiful home. I've got the beach house. I've got the cabin in the woods. I got all the toys. I got $2 million worth of supercars in my garage, but if you don't have that other stuff, it's going to be really hollow.
That was worth nothing, 100%. I did. Have you heard of Wim Hof?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. So,
Crazy guy.
I had this experience a little while ago where I did indoor skydiving, and I flew into the wall in the tunnel, and I dislocated my AC joint.
Okay.
And I was that entrepreneur. I was just taking ibuprofen. I didn't have the time to go and do the operation, and I found the Wim Hof method. And it really changed my life, right? I went after a year of turmoil. I lost the use of my arm, and I
Wow.
had to fix it. So I
Yeah.
started doing that. And since then, I've been out and met Wim and done his instructor's course and talked to thousands of people. And that's just such a foundational thing. We are so powerful in our bodies if we just know how, right? So one of the things I teach entrepreneurs is breathwork, randomly enough. We have Cranfield University here in the UK, who's one of the top universities, and I teach breathwork to the business, the
Good.
high-performing business coaching. And like you say, it's just you have to have a balance across all the things. And then we spoke very briefly about Joe Dispenza, and the breathwork allowed me to get into meditation. I couldn't meditate before. In my level two instructors at Wim Hof, someone said, read Becoming Supernatural, one of Dr. Joe's books. And I was like, okay, I'm going to go to an event. The thing that fascinates me about his work is, to your point, he's actually doing all the scientific studies about how the work that he's doing is actually affecting people. You go to his website and you go to the proof section, and it's just insane the different scientific research that's coming out.
Call your show Power Movers, and people quickly will find out if you don't have your health, you're not going to be a power mover. Whatever you're trying to do, it just ain't going to happen.
Yeah, it isn't. And if you are doing pretty well and you don't have your health, then by doing that, you're going to go do so much better, and you're going to feel better, and your relationships are going to be better. Everything's going to be better. To your point of let's educate the world. Let's make sure. I think we're very much aligned on our missions. There's more than enough people out there with problems. I think in the UK last year, 60% of business owners were near burnout. And something as simple as doing 20 minutes of breath work every day could massively change that figure.
The Wim Hof thing, I keep my bedroom really cold at night to sleep was one of the things I learned from him. And I do the blackout curtain now so that I'm really getting deep sleep because there's so much grind, hustle, crap in the self-development space right now. Everybody thinks you're going to be a grinder, you're going to be an entrepreneur, you're going to work your face off. Listen, you're 20 years old and you're just getting after it. I get it. You're going to have to go out of balance and do that. But I have too many people come to me. They're still 35, 45, 55, and they're still doing that grinder thing. And listen, if you're not getting a productive night of sleep, you're not going to be productive the next day. And if the last thing you're doing is checking your phone and social media before you go to sleep at night, and that's the first thing you're waking up to, you got to have that mental clarity that I did that whole MRI. It's like you're like in the tube for almost an hour that I did yesterday. And those are the loudest clanging, banging thing. And the guy pulled me out at the end and he's, "Were you sleeping?" I'm like, "No, I was just in an alpha state." He's like, "How do you do that? You just were so relaxed." And to me, it felt like I was in there 10 minutes. And then he said, "Okay, time is up," because I had just gone into such a deep alpha state that I could sleep through a brain MRI because I've trained my body how to relax and how to meditate and how to clear my
For
mind.
me to get to that point where they're coachable, you have those people that are just not coachable because they're not there yet. They'll get there at some point. But I learned very early on, if I go and pay someone 100 grand to help me, I had a EOS, Traction EOS, and the business operating systems.
What is it?
It's a business operating system called Traction. So basically, a guy called Gino Wickman wrote a book around business and built the business operating system. I learned that about 10 years ago, and
Oh, Gino, Geno.
Gino.
Okay. Yes, I
Gino.
did. He wrote a book, two books, one or two
Yeah.
books.
Yeah.
Yeah, I read his book. Okay.
I went deep down the hole doing that, about 100 grand for a coach in my
Okay.
company. It changed how I look at the business operating system. I've since become a coach for Boss Up. Once you have your AI, so you've got some time and clarity, and then you've got your wellness, then we can actually grow and scale your company. And this is what the big four will use if they're going to come in and coach you. Right? So let's give that to the small business owners. And I think there's just this whole piece of there's so much information out there that we get overwhelmed. Right? And that's where a coach comes in and says, okay, I can sit here with you for an hour and a half a week and I can actually make it much more sensible for you because you're just digging in the weeds and you can't get out of the
Right.
weeds.
Too many people on just total overwhelm mode, and they've got to be more mindful. The other books that's really helpful were for me were the Dan Sullivan books, 10X is better than 2X, and Who, Not How. When I read those, I went all in on that. My assistant had retired a couple of years ago. She was with me for 27 years or something. And earlier I'd had bigger staff back in the day before I sold my products company. I had 15 employees in the office with me every day. And I just said, that's not really my lifestyle. I don't want all these, it's like all these hungry beaks that want the mama bird to put the worms in their mouth. And I was like, nah, I just want to have a business I can run from my laptop anywhere around the world. So I sold off those other divisions and then I just kept Lornette. And then when she retired, I said, okay, I'm never going to hire another employee again. I will just use, I've got a video team in Nepal that does some of my social stuff. I have a different one in Pakistan that's doing some other social media stuff. And I was using VAs. I hired Samuel, who you met, right? You are going to be my full-time executive assistant. And I need, when I come back from a speech, I need the car washed and filled up with gas. I need groceries in the fridge. Find me a Colombian abuelita who's going to come in once a week and cook all the meals and put them in things in the refrigerator to heat up and work with Rocio for the housekeeping stuff. And I just want to work in my genius zone. And so that was really the biggest transformation. Like I told you, I'm 66. I had this mental picture that, yeah, I'm going to keep writing books. I love to write and I have a lot I want to share. The horizon in front of me is closer than the one behind me. How long are people going to want to keep hiring this old broken down horse to come in and speak at their conventions and do the coaching and consulting? And it's the opposite. Last year, 2025, was the busiest year I ever had.
Wow.
2026 is already booked. It's going to be the busiest year I've ever had, more than 2025, because I'm just working in my genius zone. And that's where I give the most value. And that's just prioritizing your choices, thinking about what you're thinking about, looking for how you provide the most value, and most importantly, doing the work that lights you up. I love working with the coaching people. I love consulting with the bigger companies that I have arrangements with. And I love rocking the platform with 5,000 people or 10,000 people in the audience. I'm here and then I go home, and next I've got a gig in Prague,
Prague.
one of my favorite cities in Europe, Prague. So I got a gig in Prague, and then from there I go to Phuket, Thailand, and I'm doing a leadership
How long
program.
are you in Prague for?
Just 2 days, come in, and because I'll go from there on to Phuket.
One of my
And
very good friends, clients, also Wim Hof instructor, has the best steak restaurant there, Max's Steak Restaurant.
oh
So
yeah,
I'll tell him
all
I
right,
sent you.
yeah, send me the details.
Yeah.
And that stuff lights me up. So I'm
Brilliant.
really good at it, and so I can produce really good results. So it's more in demand. But that if you're doing a bunch of busy work that you shouldn't be doing, then you never get to those levels.
Yeah, 100%. And to that point of where we're going to be in 6 months' time or a year's time, all the busy work can be done by AI, right? If once you've thought it through once and this is my SOP, this is what I want to do, this is where it's going to be checked and what it's going to be done. That's what's going to make the biggest difference in people's lives at the moment. It's just to that exact point of, okay, how do I do my best work? I have more time to do it. I have more time to think about it. I have more tools in my toolbox to be able to go out and be more effective. So let's get rid of all the dross. And yeah, I love getting working with a client and 4 months later, their turnover is up by 50%. They literally haven't got any of the stress that they had before. They see the path going forward for the next 2 or 3 years. They've got clarity in that. And yeah, it's the reason I get out of bed in the morning.
Good for you.
So let's wrap this up with what is the one most needle moving thing that you would tell people in our audience? What do they need to do for themselves, for their businesses? What's your biggest bit of advice?
I'm going to give a really simple one that will shock people and they won't believe me, but I think it'll be the biggest needle mover for them, which is charge your phone in a room different than the one you sleep in. And that will give you the big, and don't hang on to it till the second you go to bed. Like for me, I charge my phone in, I work from home, right? I have an office in my condo that I work from, and I leave that phone there charging in the stand in the evening. And I go to dinner and whatever, the movies or social, whatever. I go to bed and I wake up and do my cardio, do my self-development, my reading, and then I pick up my phone.
I do
And
the
so I give my subconscious something to think about every night before I go to bed, but it hasn't been distracted by the phone and the doom scrolling on social media and the breaking news alerts and all of the polarization and bullshit in social media and virtue signaling and negative programming. And then I'm sleeping a good night, healthy, refreshing, revitalizing sleep. It seems to me 90 plus percent of people sleep next to their phone. The last thing they do before they go to sleep is their last post on X or Insta. And The research on blue light screens and what it does to your sleep is irrefutable. The research on the distraction and the attention span and the ability of people to focus is undisputable. If that just that simple thing might do more to help you make an extra $500,000 next year
Yeah.
than any other thing you might do.
Amazing. Thank you very much for joining us. I'm sure we're going to speak again in a couple of months or 6 months' time. Let's just dig back in again. Thanks for being on Power Movers.
All right. Thanks for having me on the show. Thanks, everyone. Peace.
For listening to Power Movers, the podcast from All the Power, where our mission is to help business owners reclaim their time, reset their energy, and live the life they love. If this episode sparked something for you, your next step is simple. Take the fit check at allthepower.co.uk. It's a short clarity tool that helps you see where you are, what's getting in the way, and what might be possible if you have the right system. When you're ready, come and join the tribe. Power Movers starts with our signature framework called Elevate 360, a system built to help you escape survival mode, create structure, and move forward with power. Just remember, everything we share here is based on real stories, experience, and frameworks. It's not personal business advice. Always speak to a coach or advisor before making big decisions. Because in the end, it's about more than business. It's about building a life that you actually love. I'm Roy Castleman, and I'll see you in the next episode.